A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Taylor, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
Hello there.
Hello. I thought we would start doing... We've got a whole new schedule rolling out starting from this week, but Mr. Josh Brown's still off. I don't know whether he's ill or he's just, you know, recovering from his Halloween wine sesh. I don't know if you caught that on social media. Man's been drowning in the red. Yes.
He watched that new Adam Sandler film, so I think that's pretty much what it is.
I kind of couldn't believe that he did that. I was just like, "What? Do you have no..." My wife watched that as well. Do you not have any like indication it's not going to be worth your time from everything else that Adam Sandler's done? Because have you seen that yet?
I'm not going to. I just watched Halloween 1978 and Halloween 2018. Like, I don't need to watch anything else.
Fair, very fair. We watched The Mummy because we're trying to think of a random scary thing. We ended up watching the original Mummy, which has... aged, but it's, you know, twin pistols, it's all right.
I mean, I watched The Rock as well, so you know.
Shout. The Rock is way better. It's much a bit more important reason to watch it. Anyway, Monday is going to pretty much be the news podcast day going forward, and where we sort of recap whatever the biggest stories are. We can dive into stuff in a bit more of a long form way than whatever the original news videos are. So, at the minute, there's some stuff that's just full on breaking news this morning. One of them being that Crystal Dynamics have reduced the price of in-game emotes and takedowns in the Avengers because the Avengers player base numbers are just plummeting at the minute. Went to below 1,000 across the last week on Steam, and the original price for the takedowns was about £10, 10 English pounds, $12 to buy a different takedown animation, which is absolutely ludicrous. And across the last sort of couple of weeks, they put a statement out saying that they're trying to encourage people to play, so they wanted to give people a bunch of the different currencies so that, you know, people would come in and experience the game. However, the game's a little bit naff, so I thought we'd talk about that stuff. Do you think that price reductions are going to get you back in?
No, I never really was in.
Me neither.
I played that. I played the beta.
The beta thing, yeah.
Please buy it. And then I experienced that game and saw how garbage it was and how liquid turd it kind of resembled. And I said, you know what? I'm gonna go back to play some older games instead, because to me, it just seemed like here's probably some great story with the Kamala Khan stuff sprinkled in, and they're trying to make Troy Baker another dad like he was in The Last of Us, but he's now the Hulk. Mm-hmm. And but then, by the way, do you want to beat up an inanimate object for a while and then beat some robots up for a while and then do it 1,700,000 times? No,
because have you got into any of these games, like the whole Warframe, like, you know, Anthem? That whole idea of like, oh, we'll just, you know, we'll roll content out across the next few years, but what you played now is just one tiny thing repeated over and over again.
I tried to get into what is Destiny 2. I was like, nah, this is a job. I played some Warframe. I was like, yeah, this is right, but I don't want another job. And then I platinumed to The Division because I actually really enjoyed that, and I liked going around New York and like that.
What was it about Division that made you stick with it?
I think it's New York, and I think it's just anything with Tom Clancy's name on, I'm going to sniff about and like, what's this? Like, Tom Clancy brings me in. But I think it was the more, like, I had two other friends was playing with, and just it didn't feel as grindy and as more hellish as those other games do, where like you just would just, let's just roll up, or let's just go to the dark zone and let's just really make someone's life hell.
I thought about the dark zone stuff, but that is hands down the coolest thing in that whole game, that this like you know, constantly online matchmaking thing where if you walk into that one zone, you might find any number of other players just walking around stealing each other's loot and stuff.
Legit scary. And also we broke it because we had, because you can only have parties of four, but because if you were trying to load into one at the same time, you could actually get more people that you knew in the world. So we had one big party chat of eight, but we was in two groups of four. So really we was a group of eight rather than four. And we just
working together.
We just destroyed the Dark Zone and just took everyone's loot for like a good few hours until like,
you were the nightmare that children tell their parents about.
Yeah. Sometimes you've got to be the one who knocks. Sometimes you've got to be the danger, but like, I've not done it since.
I still love the idea of that. I kind of want them to branch that out into a whole like free to play type thing. I don't know how you would, but some sort of.
It was exciting.
Yeah, it was just one of the coolest ideas they ever had. I kind of forgot that even existed because they haven't ran with it in other Ubisoft stuff. But yeah, I think the more that these games like float currency and numerics, the more they're like grind X to get Y. The more that's visual, the more I just run the other way.
Yeah, it's funny. That's why I go back to Battle Royale seem to be my go-to for online, because there's you're in it, one and done sort of thing. But if you want a more sort of like, you want to dedicate yourself to an experience, then you do that sort of thing. But even Division 2, I fell off towards the end of that. Like, I think only Division 1 had its hooks to me, and I think it was because the setting of New York and the interest in like all these things came together, like the money flew and it was set during a forever Christmas and things like that. And it just felt so weird and it's probably just like walking around New York now. I mean, I don't know how empty it is like these days, but like it just felt so unique at the time and felt so interesting that I had to just jump in and see what it was like.
Yeah, for me, it's like I've given every single one of these a shot. I think the most I played was Destiny and then Destiny 2, just because it's Bungie and I was just like, I absolutely love Bungie. I think that they, you know, nail a combat model. But the more that they, especially with Destiny 2, the more it got into all the Clea Ingram stuff and you're just rerunning stuff over and over again. Like, I'm just going to get sick of that, like on a long enough timeline. And obviously to bring it back to the Avengers, like, I mean, like I said, you played the beta. I did the review, like I got through the whole thing and then played hours of the multiplayer.
Sorry, Scott.
I had to take the bullet but you know you play that whole thing just thinking, well, at some point it'll click, like they'll have a level that'll be brilliant, or the combination of different attacks will be great, and the level of animation, you know, polish that's in there is insane, but the levels are just so bland. Like, it just, it really felt like they took a story-based game and just stretched it out so they could monetize every last part of it.
I think we're all even over the fact that they look like the budget Avengers. I think like it's that sort of sunk in and it's kind of fine now. But even like you go to some of the extra costumes, they looked naff.
Just skin swaps, like color palette swaps.
It just looked like you would go what's that show coming out with WandaVision? Like they were doing bad costumes at that, but they were trying to make it look good, not trying to make it look bad. Some of them just looked awful.
And it's weird. Like one thing they do in the story that I actually thought was kind of genius, and it's not that the MCU is referenced by name in the story, but they make it so that like these guys in the game are the actual Avengers and all the merchandise comes from them. So like there's a way to sort of bolt that together and be like, oh, so the MCU, like Chris Evans is just playing this version of Cap and this is the actual Cap. Like, I like the way they do all that stuff, but they don't run with it at all. It's only part of the intro. There's so much wrong with that game. It has so much promise. It reminds me of like how EA sort of messed up Star Wars, or Disney have kind of, you know, managed to sort of destroy or erode at the goodwill of Star Wars. It's like, how do you get this property wrong?
It was like 30, 40 hours to get Darth Vader like in Battlefront 2 for the first week or so, and then they got rid of it. And then, boy, when they fixed Battlefront 2, great game. I played it for hundreds of hours. Lovely.
Battlefront 2 is easily the best Star Wars game of the generation. Like, obviously, Jedi Fallen Order, but if you want large-scale actual Star Wars, it's 100% Battlefront 2.
They just kept adding more modes and just made it the game it should have been.
So next story is just the general sort of stuff that's unfolding in regards to how you might get access to a PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X or Series S in the coming couple of weeks, because the UK is now in its second full-on national lockdown. So each individual chain, it's kind of on their thumbs up or getting through it. It's kind of on each individual, store or whatever to inform people, because the whole thing that spiked out of, being told that we're going back into full lockdown is that people who have pre-orders were expecting to go pick them up. And so right now, Smith's, the toy retailer, Game and Argos have all said that they're doing click and collect stuff because it hovers around the whole essential retail thing. But also breaking this morning was that various Australian retailers were told that they don't expect their systems to arrive until 2021, which was something that was said to Western audiences more Western audiences a couple of months ago, that like because of the rumors that Sony's production lines were being hampered or whatever, they might not be able to actually satisfy demand, which is something that Jim Ryan talked about in October last month, that he thought the PS5 would have enough units to outsell the PS4 in its first year. What do you think of the whole thing? You're still with Game. I think that's who you went with.
Yeah, Game is still, they've not, since I put that tweet out, we've got to wait for Game. And actually the tweet said, by the way, pre-order now, and I got it. And I think Josh got his as well. And we both got our receipt, like our email saying that we have them. And I've not heard, my friend as well, and I've not heard anything since. So I imagine it's fine.
Well, I have one right now. I'm doing the review. I have a PS5, but I don't have one because I only put a penny towards the the actual one. And Shop 2, who I went with, haven't come back. And then there's been on that stock tracker website, it's like Stock Invader or whatever it's called. Watching them, they haven't had any console updates. So it's like, I don't even know if I have one in the next couple of weeks.
I might have my Series S for Shop 2. I don't even remember where that's coming from, but that's going to arrive at me at some point. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, it's the weirdest thing with Smith's Toys as well, which really pissed me off, like really boiled my piss. I'm going to get to it. Like, yeah, they offer this program where you can basically buy it at 0% interest and do it like pay off monthly. Mm-hmm. Like they're trying to help people. But Smith's Toys and Game were both like, well, you've got to come in and do that sort of thing. And then you've got to come in and get the console afterwards. So like all these people, all the people that are relying on this sort of method, I can't remember what the exact program is, but they're all getting screwed because they had to go in and do it. And now they have to go in and collect them.
Interesting.
And then just like, when I was thinking of that, I was like, I'm so glad I didn't go to that rigmarole and buy into it. I'm so glad I was like, you know what? I'll just go and buy mine somewhere else. Like the idea of having to go to a shop at any point, I was like, I used to get my socks from Primark all the time. I was like, well, I just need new socks. Do I go somewhere else? I've been buying the same pairs of crappy socks from them for like a decade and a half. Like, what do I do? Like these little pointless problems in our life. But the thing is that people that are going to get these consoles, like, it's going to feel like a weird Black Friday, sort of like you just don't want to be near anyone. And there's people everywhere. And I hate going to the shop as it is to get my daily allowance of like wine and monsters. Like, I can't imagine going into a store like this at the moment.
Yeah, wine, monster, and socks. If you could sort of get them on a monthly turnaround. Because for me, like I said, I don't shop to you. I've never fulfilled their extended pre-orders. I was one of the people who got the email saying that I just didn't have one. Like it was like, oh, we didn't have enough stock to satisfy that initial demand. So my plan, my super secret, top secret plan is to go to a supermarket at midnight. And there's only a few that are open 24/7 around where we are or where I am. And so I was like, but they would hopefully get their stock and I can go get one from there. And I guess because they're classed as essential retail, they should actually be open. But it's, I mean, the wider thing as well is I'm kind of waiting for a statement from Sony or Microsoft, you know, because if you're them, do you actually want to release to a region that fundamentally doesn't have access to most places that the systems will be sold? Like, do you think they'll actually do anything about that?
I think we're such a big market. I think unlike Australia, where I feel like they literally could be like, oh, we just got to sacrifice Australia because they're so far out the way of shipping channels and things like that. I think because we're so centralized, like within Europe, and like Jerome was talking about how they're avoiding delays by just flying PlayStations around rather than sending them on ships. They just put them in the air and they're paying that a bit extra to get the PlayStation 5s around the world. Like they're just this advanced way of doing it, which you don't, like, I'm not a shipping expert, but like normally you just shove it on the boat and it gets there in like a couple of weeks, whatever it is. But I think we will get them. I think we'll be fine.
There's already like a few images on doing the rounds on social media of like pallets full of consoles being shown. So that initial shipment is there.
Yeah.
But if you were Sony, if you were Microsoft and you're about to do a system launch, and obviously it's been such a year anyway, and we've been back and forward in regards to, you know, supply and demand. And then it's like 2 weeks or whatever it is before the system drops. One of those important regions government says like, actually, we're going to go in full lockdown. Like, does that mean that they just go, okay, well, we're just going to do this initial shipment and you're going to have to wait until next year? Like, I'm kind of reading that Australia thing. I was like, I hope that doesn't happen for us, but I just the sheer reality, business reality of maybe just waiting until next year when it's safer, just might be the way to go.
I think it's legit where they are in the world. And it's probably like they're the last stop on the sort of like the chain. So they're probably the dead end, sort of like where the boats go. And like, I'm just guessing in, but because Australia is always down at the bottom and they always survive in fiction, they always survive these giant wars and things. So who knows? But I think we'll.
Facts. That's science, that's full-on science.
That's science. But I think we'll probably. Maybe you're right. Maybe we'll get like the first shipment and then they'll be gone again. But it's just. It's unprecedented times. You can't guess this at the moment because it's changing like almost every day, every week sort of thing. So like earlier in the year, I was like, just when this whole thing starts, like, let's just not bother this year. And then I got really hyped again. Like, yeah, I'm going to get it. I bought mine. And I'm like, do I need this thing? But then yeah, I do and I don't. It's so complicated. It's so like fickle compared to what else is going on. But I think I think you're right.
A lot of people have been looking forward to it as sort of like a ray of light in the darkness. Like, it is this full on hopeful, cool thing that you can hopefully get your hands on, and it'll, you know, sort of, it might be something that elevates that entire week or month or the end of the year. Yeah. But you said about, you know, do I actually need this? That's a really good segue into something that me and you did as a separate news video, which will be on the channel by now and hopefully on the audio side too. But Mr. Jim Ryan getting out there talking about, you know, the idea of the PlayStation 4 and, you know, responding to the fact that there's 100 million users for it and respecting that going forward, and the idea that maybe 2021 games would still come to the PlayStation 4, which you obviously already know for Horizon Forbidden West, but the idea that maybe God of War might as well. God of War, like, specific games weren't mentioned as part of that quote. It was just him talking about the idea that the PS4 user base is very important. However, one thing that I wanted to talk about with you is the recent thing with, like, various PS4 games getting patched on PS4 so that they completely minimize, or in Until Dawn's case, obliterate load times, so that Until Dawn, Last of Us, there's a whole list of them, games that have been completely removed load time wise. Do you think that in any way negates people even bothering to take it alongside something like the lockdown stuff, the COVID stuff? Do you think that negates people wanting to even bother getting a system because their PS4 will load stuff even faster?
I think if you think about it, if I keep going to phone terms, there's more point in getting these than there is a new phone, but people always, even I use your phone all the time, what you're doing, like, there's Twitter, oh, someone's being rude, it'd go away sort of thing. I think you're going to have those people that are plugged in and want the new thing. People at our age that grew up and we were kids when the PS1 was out, and now we're like, well, I'm going to buy a PS5. It's a PS5, isn't it? And you've got the kids who, for Christmas, like, their opinions haven't changed. It's the PS5. It's the fifth PlayStation. It's not the fifth PlayStation, but it is the fifth PlayStation sort of thing.
Also 2020, though. Full-on 2020 energy.
Yeah, and just, let's go, let's buy one. And I think it's weird because you're talking about, I still don't believe this story. I don't believe these load times have been reduced. I've read it. I've seen people chat about it, but I played Horizon Zero Dawn recently, jumped in there and did some cleanup. That took 74 years to load. Like, so maybe I played the only PlayStation game that didn't get the update, but it's so weird to think that Until Dawn is just now instant. There's no load times anymore. There's no, like, Last of Us, like, a game that I played earlier in the year, which, took so long to get into things at some point.
One thing that, like, kind of stood out, because obviously the big deal with the PS5 is SSD stuff. I can't speak to that right now, but the whole thing with that is obviously the idea of games loading in seconds. But you did see a bit of that with something like Ghost of Tsushima, which, like, when you fast traveled, it was just there immediately. So it kind of speaks to, like, well, you can do this load time stuff, this optimization stuff, file size stuff on the PS4 with a hard drive. You don't need the SSD for that, which I think is really interesting if you're a more sort of, you know, careful consumer. You're not being swept up in the whole maelstrom of it, because right now the only games that are PS5 exclusive from now and throughout 2021, as we know, is Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, well, I guess Demon's Souls as well,
and Resident Evil 8 if they don't get it to work on,
if they don't comment on it. The Resident Evil 8 seems like it might be next gen exclusive, but even that would be like multiple platforms. But the rumors are that they can't get it working on PS4 PS4 and Xbox One. But that whole idea of, like, you could just save half a grand and just sit on your PS4, they're optimizing for it, Spider-Man's going to be on there and Horizon's going to be on there. I just think it's a weird about face in regards to how they approach the whole next generation, and it feels like they're kind of doing catch up with the Xbox side of things.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
I would say there's probably still points, but like as I've thought more and more like about people like you that have bought the Series
X, right now,
One X, and then going from the One X to Series X, there's almost at this point there's almost no point upgrading that. Today,
but I have to buy a new TV for that, so I'm not doing it.
Just yeah, but
not Josh Brown.
No, he buys a new TV every 4 weeks, I think.
Every 2 days
now.
At the minute, he's messaging me going, like, oh, I think I'll get this one instead. He almost impulse bought the new LG CX or something the other day.
Yeah.
It's like £1,400.
We said like 2 weeks ago, if you can find him, well, find where he lives. If you find the pile of TVs outside of his flat that just sit there.
He doesn't even watch them. He's just forever moving the contrast settings and the gamma. He's just going back and forth trying to get the right picture.
It's funny. Like, I think at this point, give me PlayStation. I don't know. I just give me the PlayStation.
I think you're in that group though. Like
God of War
wants the new stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. God of War 2. I think if they can get it to work, I can't think of anything in my brain which would make God of War 2 not work on the PS4, unless they did, which I just guessed earlier on the news we did, where it's like maybe Kratos can go through dimensions, like in Ratchet and Clank, where he just uses his axe to go and just goes through rather than using the gates.
Like a rift tear in the
yeah,
in
maybe.
Space.
He can just cut a hole through the world and just go through like that, like just, you know, time traveling or something like that. But I can't think of, because you could imagine that it just would have, like, will the PS5 version have a bunch of times where you're going through like a small crack because they're going to account for, but if they do that, are they going to account for the version that would go on PS4? Like, you know, you've got to think of all that sort of stuff. Like,
yeah, I mean, I would hope that like games, that's the fascinating thing is because right now we haven't seen Spider-Man Miles Morales on PS4. They've only been showing off the PS5 version. So yeah. I'm like, what did you have to take out of that game to make it work on PS4?
Puddles.
And maybe, which one? Puddles. The bigger puddles. But that's the thing. If they're holding back showing the PS4 version because actually it's super close to the PS5 version and they don't want that cannibalizing the sales of the PS5, I'm fascinated by the whole thing. Like there was that initial comment from Ryan about like, we are Sony and we care about generations and we want to give you next gen stuff. And I'm like, cool, I'll pay the money and I'll play your new things. And then if it comes to right next to launch and actually you can get 99% of the experience, 70, 30, whatever it is, however much percentage you want to put on ray tracing by just sticking with the old stuff, then that's a hell of a thing.
Because I got Legions physical, you probably got it digital, right? Yes. And on the case, Watch Dogs Legions, yes. And it does say, like, this is going to just upgrade when you get a PS5.
Yep.
And then I'm thinking, like, so many games are just upgrading, like Hitman, like, yeah, just buy the PS4 version, it gets PS5 anyway. So I'm like, all these things seem so close and so nebulous together. Like, this is the true melding of generations where we're going into the phone sort of, like, status where it is going to be the phone.
Like incremental upgrades.
Yeah, the hard cutoff point is now gone, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I said, I'm just fascinated by the whole thing. And Sony, I said this in the news, but Sony have always been so reactionary to the point where it's so last minute. Delaying Destruction All-Stars, like that's just got delayed into next year because they decided that they want to do the Fall Guys Rocket League release thing. And it's like, yeah, just put it out as a PS Plus game. It's like, you guys could have planned that months ago. I said, instead of having it as a launch game that people might have bought the system to play alongside Demon's Souls and whatever. I just think they're in a hell of a space and it feels like they're rolling with a punch like every day. Just sort of going, oh, what's Xbox doing? Right, okay, we'll do that. And then that'll be, you know, the next day.
It's good to have a reactive company like that. It's good that they can, there's such a tight, like a megalith of like a corporation and they can do things like that. Like just little things down to the legendary Shuhei and Alan Boyce video where they're like, here's how you share games. And they just pass it over.
I love that side of it. But I mean, at least in that case, like that Adam Boyce thing about how you share games on a PlayStation or whatever, that was a video that was out on YouTube. Loads of this stuff is just coming from Jim Ryan being interviewed and he just lets slip that something's happening. Like a lot of people won't even know that the 3D audio on the PS5 isn't coming at launch because he just said it in an interview, even though that was an advertised feature. 3D audio is in the system using headsets, but not through speakers. Like that's just coming later. Things like that, where I think they could be a bit clearer with just how much of their plans they're changing. Anyway, next up on the list is just general cyberpunk stuff. And we covered this in the last week's podcast about all the revelations about just how much crunch has been going on at the studio, the whole thing about the delay till December and things like that. However, there's been multiple games that have been delayed out the way of cyberpunk. One being Everspace 2 and the other one being Path of Exile's full-on expansion. Both of them just got the hell out the way because I guess cyberpunk is dropping at the start of December. So if you're a fan of either of them, you're going to have to wait until 2021. But in general, you said to me on before we started recording, that you don't know where you are on cyberpunk. What did you mean by that?
I don't know, because I've had for so long is just I've seen their videos they put out, and I've just tried. This is one of the games I've just tried to distance myself completely because I got myself in the CDPR mode by playing Witcher 3 and actually finishing that this year. But it's just so like I don't know what to think of it because we had a question like on the podcast last week if someone asked him to give you the new like a cyberpunk GTA sort of style game, and that never crossed my mind. And if it was just like that, that would upset me.
Right. It's like weird. If it was a more action focused anarchic type thing.
I don't think it is the second coming of like gaming Christ or anything like that. I think it's just going to be probably a game that's going to like have a hallmark and just put all it's got on the table, and like this is like what cyberpunk, like the genre, the aesthetic of it should be. And there's nothing really else to think about it because it's a start. It's technically a new IP. Like, yeah, there's a board game or something like that, but like, I don't
there's
I
a tabletop book.
It's good. I don't even like real money anymore, sort of thing. So, but it's so hard to think about it when we've only seen some videos, and this thing like. I think there's another thing that changed when you couldn't go third person that sort of also like made me not lose faith, but I was a bit like, what?
I don't mean to like, because I've harped on that for years now, but I think that did hit me for one thing. I was like, oh, that kind of sucks. I really wanted like The Witcher in cyberpunk space. You're not going to be able to get that. But it's a weird thing with cyberpunk hype. I feel like I get told that that game has hype more than I see it. I don't see social media feeds freaking out over it. We don't talk about it in the office very much. We're not like, oh my God, I can't wait to play it. The other day I was reading something about pieces of content that have been cut from it. Like you can't do the arm blades, you can't hang off the wall with them anymore, which was a big thing. Yeah, like maybe they're going to put it back in, but it was this whole thing that bits and pieces have been cut from it to sort of streamline the package over time. And it's just, I don't know, like everyone's like, oh my God, it's the most hyped game ever. And I don't think so. I think that like loads of people learned from No Man's Sky, which was, I would say that was the most hyped game ever. And I love No Man's Sky, but I think that that game for me just put a line in the sand and just said, we're never going to get more hyped than this. And so like, I feel like Cyberpunk's hype is almost marketed to a degree or it's mediated and we work in the games media, but I don't feel like we've contributed to that very much. And I just don't see it very much rather than I see a couple of headlines every now and then just saying like, oh, the runaway hype and it's crazy. And I'm like, I guess.
The last time I got hyped for something majorly was The Last of Us 2, and I just sat there. I didn't say anything about that for months because I didn't want anyone to come in like, and spoil that game.
Like, by the way,
all the leaks. But it's hard to get excited about something that has such negative press, and where it's warranted or it's not, in some cases, like a lot of it is. And it's become the next punching bag because that was Last of Us earlier in the year, and now it is Cyberpunk, and it's going to be Cyberpunk until that's out, until the next thing comes around. Like the next, I can't even think of what the next massive game after that would be. Is like
Horizon.
There's such sort of like a dark cloud of is it going to be good, or are these people not be allowed to go home after they finish work, and also what's going on now, the pandemic and stuff, and it's just there's so much around this game. It's almost not about the game anymore. It's about everything else.
Which is a very good point. I mean, like, and plus, like, CDPR, like they said, they have this insane track record, and it's more about, like, the next game from CD Projekt Red as opposed to exactly what Cyberpunk is.
Yeah.
Which I think, like, you know, you go back over the years, it's been in development since 2013. We've only really seen it, like, 3 or 4 times. Like, in terms of official big E3 demo stuff, there was obviously the Keanu Reeves thing, and they did a couple of other, there's, like, a 45-minute demo that they didn't want to put out that they showed to games press and stuff that we didn't see, but, you know.
Yeah.
And then they put that out on YouTube, just say, and they put a whole disclaimer thing being like, we didn't want to show anybody because it's not finished, but here you go. And I feel like they've, because, you know, Marcin Iwinski, I think he's the head of CDPR. I probably got the position wrong, but he's a dude. He's a big, important dude in CDPR. And talked about, you know, the whole thing with The Witcher 3's downgrade. Like, do you remember that at the beginning of The Witcher 3? That was like, when the game first came out, everyone was freaking out that it was downgraded from what they showed the years beforehand. And they really wanted to avoid that. So they've been way more careful. Yeah. And it just, it feels like they've had to roll this out in such a careful manner, but they are CDPR now. They have all the spotlights on them because of The Witcher 3. And it's just, it's such a weird energy if you combine all those different perspectives on it.
I've not gone to you, I've not gone to Josh, I've not gone to Twitter and go, I can't wait to play this game, just because, again, like, just, I don't know what to think right now. And what I've seen, like, the Keanu thing was cool, but I keep forgetting he's in the game sometimes.
Right.
And then we had that demo when they would just show you do some quests at one point, like, was it E3 last year? Mm. And then they did have those few videos that came around like a couple months ago. But it's so weird how it's just kind of waiting. It's just kind of waiting to strike. And I don't know if I believe it's going to come out in December now. I'm waiting for the new, real.
It's just
give me another yellow JPEG with some text saying, by the way, 2024.
It's coming at some point. I think for me, it's completely subjective and really pernickety and BS and whatever, but it's my thoughts. It's just that I never got over it being not in third person. And I think the voice acting is terrible. And I kind of just, I don't know, nothing. I've not got over the fact that it just looks like an open world Deus Ex. I want something new from it. And I know that I've said that before, and I know people hate that and stuff, but I just like, I end up being contrarian. I can't see what it's going to offer us that we haven't had before. And that's what kind of makes me go like, yeah, okay, sure.
I'm very here for it to explore. Cause you say Deus Ex, but I feel like it could go one step further. Like, I just want to, that's the sort of open world that I want to go around and have a look at now. I don't want to go and crawl in some bushes for a bit anymore. As great as the Assassin's Creed games are at this point, I don't want to think about them. I want something new and unique that I've not going to experience before, in a way. Like Watch Dogs Legions, I bought that because I've not got around London in a game since The Getaway.
Well, see, I got Legion because of the AI thing, because like you can literally recruit any NPC, and I was like, I want to test that and see what that is like. And you literally can. You literally pull anybody and you can make a list of recruits and then do a mission, recruit them, and they have different dialogue and everything else and different voice packs and stuff. And I was like, cool, that's a unique, innovative idea that I haven't seen anybody else do, and that pushes the envelope on the idea of, you know, group-based open world things and how you sort of interface with mission design and everything else. Cyberpunk, I haven't seen a single thing that only Cyberpunk can do. And I think that's what I keep hinging everything on that, because I'm like, where is your unique idea? I don't see it.
I guess it's given the enhancements, so we've just not seen all the enhancements yet. And I guess it'll be, we'll have comparison videos like how this quest can play out in 74 different ways. And you'll do something one way, and I'll, like, maybe you've gone in and guns blazing, destroyed the man, and I've had a chat with him. We went out for lunch, and then we were friends for 4 months.
We've done that to death, though. Like the whole, like, take out the target. And it's like, well, GTA 3 was like, oh, you can put a bomb in the car, or you can use a sniper rifle, or you can go up to him and shoot him with a shotgun. And then Skyrim did that. Yeah. I don't know, man.
It's a weird spot. It is weird. And again, like, I'm with you. Like, I don't see why, like, unless some I don't, a coder. I'm going to call them scientists. And a scientist can tell me why they can't do what a Fallout does, where you can just like click in the stick and go third person and click in and go back to first. Like, I don't know why that wasn't an option. And I feel like all these games when you can customize your character, like, and then you're first person forever. Like, what's the point?
Yeah, you sort of, in this case, you see your character when they're getting on a bike, or you see them in some cutscenes, you see them in the mirror when you're walking through different.
But yeah, levels, the cutscenes are all from first person perspective now, than when they weren't going to be.
Like, yeah, that's, they were going to do first and third, and now it's all first, I think.
Yeah, it's just so, it's such a weird choice. I mean, it's good for them for having a choice and having a vision, but like, again, like, we still know nothing about this mystery of a game, which is
and I hope that that's because they do have a master card to finally play, and they've been, because it hopefully can't be as, I mean, it's obviously regressive, it's obviously boiling it down, and not doing it full disservice. I get that the full scope and scale of what they're built makes it unique and makes it incredible. I'm just personally feeling like I've done the whole Deus Ex style gameplay thing. So,
and it's probably gonna crash and break a lot of PlayStation 4s and Xbox or the dumb boxes, the original Xbox. I reckon like the current gen is what's holding this stuff back, and I'm just glad I'm not gonna be playing this on that. I'm gonna be glad I'm gonna be playing it on my PS5 if they arrive. So
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's been in development for so long that it started development at the end of the generation before the one that's ending now. And it's gone all the way through that. So the point where they put that statement out saying that they tested it on next-gen hardware and it was like night and day differences. So it's like, you could just sack off the previous generation ones, but they've spent so much money on putting them together.
100 million PS4s.
Yeah, 100 million PS4s to sell to. But it's just, it's such a crazy, unwieldy and still impressive thing. But yeah, remains totally fascinating to what the final product ends up like. I was gonna say, let us know what you think down in the comments below if you're watching the video version of things, or come find us on social media if you're listening along on the audio platforms. For now, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tailford, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
Yes, I've been joined by Scott Tailford, and I'm Ben Roy Turner again. Hello.
And we'll catch you next time. Bye bye.
See you later, everyone.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.